from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Tailgate.
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 It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy
of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked, saw it, evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Football season is here. Love the open. I'm fired up, ready to run through a wall. Good morning, Chicago. We made it. It's fall. I don't care what the calendar says. It's football season. Foliage, Labor Day weekend, all that stuff. It's kind of like the opposite of when you're a kid. You know, you love summer and you dreaded going back to school. Now it's flipped. If you're a football fan and, you know, you spend summer jonesing for football, and if you're listening to this show at 7 a.m. on a Saturday, you must be a hardcore football fan. I'm not really sure what we did every weekend since mid-February, but that's over now. I mean, now it's time for 13-hour stretches of college football on a Saturday, followed by another 12-hour session on Sunday with the NFL. Say goodbye to your family. They're great people. I love them, but I'm sure I'll see my family on Tuesday and Wednesday nights when there's no football on. Say hello to your couch, your new best friend for the fall and winter. Say hello to wearing the same pants and sweatshirt for 2 days in a row each weekend. No changing, no time, no showers. Those are optional. Say hello to buffalo wings and pitchers of beer as your main source of nourishment. And most importantly, don't forget, no fall weddings. Don't schedule them. Can't do them, won't do them. We got to watch some football. More on that later. Welcome to the tailgate, 670 The Score. As the announcer guy said, I'm Paul Pabst, just like Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer. This show is here for one reason, to get you prepped for the football weekend. And just like a proper tailgate, we begin in the morning hours leading up to the games. I love tailgating. Sometimes I like tailgating more than the games themselves, depending on the condition of the team I'm going to go see. Any activity where you could have Polish sausages and beer at 9:45 in the morning, sign me up. The only other place you could eat like that is the airport where there's no rules. This show is just going to get you ready for college and pro ball. We're going to talk a lot of college football on this show. College football in Chicago, I don't think people think college football is a big sport to people in Chicago, but it really is. When I lived there in Lincoln Park, we would always go to the pubs on Saturday, watch Big Ten games, Notre Dame, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a great a college ball town. You know, you got to drive to South Bend. You got to drive to Ann Arbor, Iowa, Champaign, but it's a great college football town. You got the new playoff format this year, so we'll hit that a lot. But no doubt on this show, first and foremost, we're going to focus on the Bears, then the NFC North, and then the NFL overall. We'll prep you on the college games coming up later today and every weekend. And each week, we'll go over the NFL injuries, who's in, who's out, the lines, a lot of people making plays, whether it's your fantasy football team, you're getting your bets in, even game weather. That's how I make a lot of my bets off game weather. And just like a tailgate, we'll get you primed up for football each weekend. If you want to have a drink while I'm doing the show, it'll make me sound better. It'll make the hour go faster. All right, to fill you in on your host, I was born on the south side of Chicago, 104th Street. Yeah, I'm a tough guy. Not really. Grew up in Glenwood, Illinois. Spent 5 years in Chicago Heights. Went to Marion Catholic High School. Loved it there. Then on to Southern Illinois University. I spent 5.5 years at Southern, and I did not get a master's degree. That's pretty impressive. We used to say at SIU, easy to get in, hard to get out. After college, moved over to North Sheffield Street, right by DePaul University. Worked in sports media for a while. Post-Chicago, went out to the East Coast, CBS Sports, CBS News in New York City. Then on to ESPN in Bristol, Connecticut for a decade. A great place to work. I produced there and still produce the Dan Patrick Show. It's a national sports radio and television show. I'm one of the producers and on-air cast with Dan Patrick. It's been just a great time for me to work one of the best in all of sports media history, Dan Patrick. But like most of you, if you're listening to the show, you grew up on the Bears. It was really part of my childhood to watch them every weekend. It was get up on Sunday morning, go to church, watch the Bears, probably be upset, and then go play with your friends. And unfortunately, as a kid, like probably a lot of you listening to this right now, there was a lot of down years. But as a youngster, I discovered my all-time favorite football player was Walter Payton. And I think a lot of people listening right now, it's our all-time favorite Chicago athlete. I live on the East Coast, and a lot of people ask me, who's the biggest athlete in Chicago history or the greatest? Well, Michael Jordan, by default, is the greatest or biggest. But I always say, like, beloved. If you said who's the most beloved athlete in Chicago history, I think it's Walter, and then you go on to number two. But suffice it to say, that's my guy. Rule number one of the tailgate show, nothing but reverence for number 34. Yeah, I was there for the 85 Bears. We made it 5 minutes into the show without mentioning the 85 Bears, and we had to get to it. Check box. It still bothers me that that squad only won one Super Bowl, and I'm going to preamble to what I'm getting to here. Yeah, I'm still fascinated how the 2006 Rex Grossman-led team, yeah, I know they're led by the defense, made it to the Super Bowl versus Peyton Manning. We had about 2 minutes of fun there when Devin Hester did his thing. I'm still, as a Bears fan, upset about the Cade McNown draft pick. I'm still upset about trading a first-round pick for Rick Meyer. Too soon. I've been there for all the pain. But as of today, the pain is gone-ish. That gets us to the 2024 Chicago Bears. You can make the case. I think you could easily make the case that there hasn't been this level of optimism and hope in Chicago with Bears fans in maybe 30 years. I don't think that's an overstatement. If I were going to compare it to another time, and in hindsight, it may not look that great. Back in, I think it was April of 2009, the Bears traded for the Broncos quarterback, Jay Cutler. Cutler was 25 or 26. He had some good games and some good years in Denver, and they didn't want to sign him. You may not think it was that big deal now because it really didn't work out great, Cutler's long stretch with the Bears. But at the time, I remember the day the Cutler trade was announced, people in Chicago went nuts. I remember listening to the score that day. I mean, people were going out of their minds. Bears fans were thinking, we finally got it. We finally got the big, strong, swagger quarterback we've been wanting for forever, really. You know, big arm, swagger, Midwestern guy. And Cutler had a few good seasons, to be fair to him. But it was more, I think you can make the case it was more frustrating than great. The buzz around the 2024 Chicago Bears tops that by a ton. I've been listening to the score for the past month, all day and night, and it's like the hope gets bigger and better and stronger. And the preseason by the Bears did nothing to calm that down. They looked great in the preseason. First team, second team, Caleb, we'll get to him in a second. But I think you also have to put this in perspective, the state of the Chicago Bears, and look at the state of Chicago pro sports right now, and the Bears' place on the food chain. In a normal year in Chicago, it's a Bear city. But right now, the Bulls are middle of the road at best. I think they've made one postseason in the past 7 years. Check my math, but that's kind of hard to do in the NBA. You got to make one every other year. The Cubs, they had a nice year last year. I think they raised a little expectations. This season for the Cubs, it was kind of like, are they going to do anything? They're 500. They're having a good month. They're still in the mix. I think they're 5 games back in the wild card. That's, you know, they're saucy. The Blackhawks, they're not really good nor threatening to win anytime soon. No offense. But they do have Connor Bedard. That is star power. And when you don't have a good team, Connor Bedard makes them relevant and interesting. The White Sox, oh, man. The White Sox are so bad, it's almost entertaining. I work on a national sports show, and we talk about the White Sox regularly out of futility. They're breaking futility records by teams from the 1800s. They put up pictures of the teams they're going to, and it's in black and white, or the clips are in standard definition. But if you're a Sox fan, your head must be spinning. 3 years ago, did they win 93 games 3 years ago? I don't know how you get this bad this quickly. The Royals won 100, lost 106 last year, and now they're going to be in the playoffs. So that leaves the Bears, already the alpha dog in this town, as the focal point for the Chicago sports fan, as always, and the local media, as always. But now, the Bears are starting to get attention by the national media. A couple reasons for that. I work in the national media, and when a couple years ago the Bears had that bad season, 3 wins, they had the first pick of the draft. And when you have the first pick of the draft, you kind of own February, March, April, because everyone is seeing what you do and playing off what you do. So the Bears got a lot of attention for that. They traded to the Carolina Panthers. Thank you, Panthers. And then last year, they had the number one pick again. They fell into it because of what the Panthers did. The main reason, though, the Bears are getting national attention this year, it's easy. It's because of Caleb Williams. It's that simple. You add one star college quarterback to your roster, you become relevant. He's a player that ripped it up at Oklahoma. I mean, he came in guns out. He was awesome at Oklahoma. Transfers to USC. Didn't go as well for the team at USC, but he was great. Wins the Heisman. You got a Heisman, which makes you even more famous to the casual sports fan. Williams, obviously a bit polarizing to sports fans. I remember before the decision was in Chicago, I keep an eye on social media. It seemed like a lot of Chicago Bears fans were on the fence, whether it's Fields. Oh, no, the Fields word. I did the Fields word. Whether it's going to be Fields or Caleb Williams. But now, I think Caleb Williams done everything right in the offseason. Going to events, good interviews, a lot of good stuff. But the Bears GM, Ryan Poles, he put together a good roster before he got his quarterback, which is a novel idea. I love it. All this leads to increased national attention. The Bears are being looked at by the networks. Then they've noticed the Bears have national primetime games, more than they usually do. Week 2 at the Texans, Sunday Night Football, the biggest show in America. That's going to be a referendum on the Bears. It's a little early to have that, but nationally, let's say the Bears win week 1. Are they Titans home week 1? Let's say the Bears have a nice clean win. Caleb has a nice game week 1. And you have Caleb Williams against the Texans week 2, CJ Stroud. That's built for the national media. But if you watch the preseason games of Caleb Williams, there's a ton to like. I mean, easy to say, but he's a scrambler, not a runner. The previous quarterback was a runner, not a scrambler. He makes throws that Bears fans just aren't really used to, not used to seeing. And, you know, I heard Caleb Williams on the Score this week, and he was asked about a lot of different things. And one of the things he was asked about that I love, he was asked about running versus passing. Does he enjoy running as much as he likes passing? Here's what he had to say to Spiegel and Grip.
I would say in those ways, we're very similar. I don't necessarily want to run or enjoy running as much as I enjoy throwing an explosive play or just a positive play down the field to one of my guys when the play breaks loose. And a lot of times in games or anything like that, you know, there's always explosive plays once you break the pocket. Obviously, you have things set up within the pocket and explosive plays that happen within the pocket. But, you know, a lot of plays become really explosive when you break the pocket. So, you know, always looking to throw, knowing that factor. And then, you know, when it gets time to run, third downs, you know, time to go win or fourth quarter, anything like that, 2 minute, you know, it's time to go run sometimes. So just picking and choosing.
That's great to hear. That's exactly what you want to hear. He's looking to pass, not run. Stay healthy, run when you need to. You got to love it. This is my favorite, though. Spiegs, I think, asked him about being comfortable in the pocket. Do you feel as comfortable in the pocket as you do running? I love the question and answer here.
Are you comfortable in the pocket as well?
Yeah, I can do anything and everything that the team needs me to do. In the pocket, out of the pocket, whatever case may be, keepers, play fakes, play actions, handoffs, under center, gun, sprint outs, you name it.
Bears.
I heard that answer and I was so fired up about it. I think you have to love that level of confidence. I think there's a difference, and they talked about it on the show. I think Bernstein talked about it, the difference between confidence and cockiness. Cockiness is talking above what you could do. Confidence is just walking in and saying, here's what I could do. And he's also a kind of guy where I look at Caleb Williams as a guy where, let's say the Bears were down 5 points with a minute and a half left and 2 timeouts, and he has the ball. I look forward to that situation this year. He doesn't seem like a kid who gets nervous. And he talked about having nerves. Here it is.
I think that's another thing that comes from the belief in the hard work that I've put in, whether it's mental, you know, and studying the plays, studying the other team, whether it's physical and my belief of when I go out there, you know, that you know, I'm physically matched up well versus other, you know, the versus defense. And then I also put myself in different positions mentally, you know, that if situations pop up that I haven't physically practiced, you know, that I, you know, mentally at least I've hopefully gone over and things like that.
That's just fantastic answers. You love a calm demeanor. That's the kind of guy you want to see do it. You know, and the Bears 2024 season, it won't just hinge on what they do as a team. They're in a very tough division. You know, they have to handle their own business, and they don't really get into the – it's way deep in the season before they get into the division. The NFC North, a lot of good teams to get past. We're going to get into the NFC North next week. Oh, man, it was a really fun interview to have him on that. But, all right, here we go. There we have it. How the Bears got here and what they're up against, I am fired up. But we still have a few more days into the NFL till Thursday night with the kickoff. No Bears game this weekend. It's your last chance to do home projects, run errands, get it all done, get your football watching plan together. Do you have cable, streaming, YouTube TV, Red Zone? Do you have three TVs or one? Go for the three TV thing if you get home approval. It's hard to do, but once you get it, you'll love it. All right, let's go. Up next, college football's new playoff format. Our first guest on the tailgate, Jarrett Payton. I'm Paul Papps. This is the tailgate. 670 The Score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Papst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Well, welcome back to The Tailgate on 670 The Score, resetting the scene. I'm your host, Paul Papst, and we're here to talk football, just like the sign says. We'll hit college football in a minute. Don't forget to download the Odyssey app. Search for 670 The Score and tap follow to receive alerts on Bears coverage, our Bears coverage. And if you can't get enough, check out the Take the North podcast with my guy David Haw and Dan Reederer, breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of the new season. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, here we go. Before we get to Jarrett Payton, I do want to talk a little bit about the general manager, Ryan Poles, and what he set up Caleb Williams for with early success. It reminds me a little bit of Russell Wilson, early Russell Wilson when he started in Seattle, or early Dak Prescott in Dallas. They came into teams with quality rosters and really good offensive line, and with Russell Wilson, a really good defense. Caleb Williams walks in with DJ Moore, a better offensive line. A good defense, though there's concern about the defensive line. Poles drafted Roma Dunze out of Washington. You loved him if you saw him in college last year. You got DeAndre Swift, nice addition. Keenan Allen, nice addition. Cole Kmet's very good. The defense, Montez Sweat, Jalen Johnson, and so on. Right now, this isn't a team. The Bears aren't a team with a superstar player like a first-team All-Pro Justin Jefferson, Myles Garrett type. They've got some guys that are close. DJ Moore's close, Jalen Johnson. Adunze could be someday. Montez Sweat is up there. This is all a byproduct of 18 months of moves that the Bears have made, and Poles is really crushing it. I mean, Caleb Williams fell into their lap a bit. And this happens sometimes in sports. If you go back to the 2011 Indianapolis Colts,
Peyton Manning missed the season with a neck injury, and they stumble into Andrew Luck. In basketball, this happened one time. I think it was David Robinson. David Robinson, the Spurs are playing great. He has a back injury. He sits, the Spurs stink, and they end up with Tim Duncan. Now, the Bears didn't have that situation. It was more of a draft strategy, and the God bless the Carolina Panthers for handling the best, but that's how it worked out, and Caleb Williams is now a Chicago Bear. All right, let's get to it. Our first ever guest on the tailgate. There was only one person that made sense for show number one. WGN Sports, former Miami Hurricanes running back, the former NFL running back, the St. Viator legend, Jarrett Payton.
Paul, appreciate you, man. The first guest, man. And first and foremost, I should say congratulations, man. This is awesome. And have you in the Chicago airwaves is always going to be better for your sports fans. But
thank you.
Man, you're like a brother to me, man. So I'm just always excited to be able to talk Bears and sports with you.
We got a lot to talk about. We're going to get to the brother part in a little bit, but I want to get right to the business. Okay, yeah. You've been watching this team. You were born into the Chicago Bears. I feel like I was as well, but in your lifetime, can you remember going into a season, the entire town, Bears fans, you yourself, with this level of hope and enthusiasm?
Never. Not since I've been. I would say, the 85 Bears team, I was alive, but did not understand the magnitude of that ball club. I would say since I've been into the business over the last 11, 12 years here in Chicago, no, there has never been this much excitement going into a season, and rightfully so, because it is very hard to be a Bears fan and think about the quarterback position and it not be filled. And every single time that a new quarterback comes in, Bears fans are like, oh, this is the one. And then you feel let down again. It's that like that girlfriend syndrome where it's like she breaks your heart and then you don't want to trust anymore. Well, that just seems to be out the window, because having the first overall pick, selecting Caleb Williams, Ryan Poles, Ian Cunningham knew exactly what they were doing. This is set up this season to do something special and to be the building blocks to something even more special, I believe, in my heart.
And you understand the nuts and bolts of football by playing it, but it's not just the quarterback. It's what Ryan Poles did the past year and a half when he traded that draft pick and he gets an offensive lineman out of Tennessee. And then he gets picks for the next year. And then he gets a great wide receiver, Roma Dunze. And then you add a nice running back in the backfield. And you've already got a good defense, and you sign some guys on your defense. Caleb Williams walks into a team that's ready to play football and ready to protect him and surround him, unlike Justin Fields and other quarterbacks in the past.
Yeah, I mean, that was the tough deal is, you know, being here in Chicago, I still am. I'm always going to be there for Justin Fields. I want him to be successful no matter what helmet or jersey that he has on. But when I look at the situation that Caleb is walking into here in Chicago, this is a perfect scenario for this young man. I mean, he's got weapons around him on the outside, like you were talking about, with Swift in the backfield as well. I think one of the biggest question marks still is seeing how this offensive line kind of plays itself out for as the season goes on. And what we've seen over time is not only inconsistencies there, but also some injuries and a revolving door of trying to find different matches. And I think that's sometimes a part of football.
Sure.
But if they can have consistency at that position in the O-line and to be able to run the football, take some pressure off of Caleb, get that ground game going, that to me unlocks the keys to what you can do outside, his ability to keep his eyes down the field, make those spectacular throws, off platform throws, all that stuff. I think that's what's going to change the game. And it's a weird deal though, Paul, because we think about over the last couple of years of watching Justin, and you know, the one thing with Justin was is as Bears fans got accustomed to it is things would break down, and what we were all just waiting to see, oh, now he's about to take off and run.
Great highlights.
He's going to take off and run. Like, oh, I can't wait to see this run, and this dude's rushing for 100 yards. Like, all these crazy things. And now to have to untrain yourself because of watching Caleb in the limited snaps that he had throughout this preseason was, okay, I'm in trouble. I got to find a way, but then keep his eyes downfield, and he wants to throw before he wants to run.
Yeah, that's, I think, the really biggest part of it for me. And I defer to you as an expert on football, but like a younger Russell Wilson or like Aaron Rodgers 5 years ago, he's a scrambler, not a runner. He keeps the plays alive, and he's really fighting to not cross the line of scrimmage, which seems refreshing.
Yeah, because Paul, he trusts his arm. I mean, he trusts what he sees, and he trusts his arm as well. The pass to Odunze in the back of the end zone where he was out of bounds. I know right. we all talk about this spectacular run, and we talk about the floating pass to Odunze over the top. To me, to be able to see how he's like, yo, I want to make this throw. He wants the highlight throw more than he wants the highlight run, and I think that's what we're accustomed to. So to see how he's going to develop, and already just the little bit of the pieces that we've seen so far, mm-hmm. it's pretty spectacular. I always go back to this, and I won't name names because I can't. But there is a college scout ahead of college scouting in the NFL that I know, and was talking to him just about this is around the time where the conversation was Justin. Do you keep Justin, build around him, or do you take that number one overall pick and go get Caleb Williams? And he said nice things about Justin and what he felt like, and maybe the lack of talent around him here that you need to add to that, but you could win with him. But I said, and then I asked the question about Caleb, like, what do you see when you turn on the film? And this is a guy that is, he has not missed on a lot of the draft picks for his ball club. He said, man, it's crazy when you turn on the film, Jared. You look at this young man, and it's like watching Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech, but a little bit more under control. And yeah. to me, that right there is like, holy cow. And I didn't jump to conclusions like, oh, this is going to be the next Patrick Mahomes. No.
Right.
And I know we always want to, in every single sport, we want to find a way to compare someone to someone. Like we're still in this day and age trying to compare LeBron to Jordan. Like what these dudes are nothing alike. What are we doing? My whole thing is let these guys be who they are. And a guy like Caleb, who studies the game, who loves the game of football, has watched these guys, has studied these guys, and has taken some of each of these quarterbacks that we've seen over the last couple decades and say, holy cow, I'm going to put this into my bag. I'm going to learn how to perfect this in my craft. And so that's the thing that gets me, is that he's more pro ready than the two quarterbacks that came before him in Bears uniforms. And so that right there shows me exactly what I need to know. But Paul, we can't go past not give credit to what Ryan Poles has done, not only to revamping this whole entire landscape when it comes to the roster here in Chicago, but we got to give him credit as well, because you see a guy like Tyson Bagent, right? Not yeah. saying this dude. The fact is, and one of the knocks on the Bears has always been, they can't develop quarterbacks. They don't know how to develop quarterbacks. And to see a guy like Tyson Bagent in year two coming from Shepherd, no one knew who this dude was.
Right.
And now this young man has shown that he has it in him to understand the game, and he's gotten better from year one to year two. And that right there shows me something for the future to be happy about Caleb Williams, that he's going to get the teaching that he needs to keep going up and unlocking doors to get to that level of the superior quarterbacks in the NFL.
This is the tailgate. I'm Paul Papp, 670 The Score, sitting here with Jared Payton, chopping it up. Man, we're getting fired up. I'm ready to hit someone, not you, because you'd run over me, but I'm ready to hit someone. Real quick on the NFC North, for the Bears to do any damage, they had to get past the Packers and the Lions. To me, the Lions are a Super Bowl, not a favorite, but I think they're at the point where it's almost like, remember the Bulls when they were trying to get past the Pistons and they had to learn how to win? That's what happened. The Lions were in the Super Bowl, it felt like, last year, and then they just kind of puckered up a little bit in the title game. And it feels like the Lions are poised to have a year, like one of those once-in-a-lifetime Cubs 2016 years. And the Packers, again, it feels like they found their quarterback, very good roster, add Josh Jacobs. Which team concerns you more, or is it both?
It's both. Definitely both. I can't choose. It's hard because you look at how good the division has gotten, and we saw it. I mean, just thinking about it, even pre-draft to post-draft, you start to look, you're like, holy cow, this division is going to be tough, but rightfully so. I'm going to say that I look at both of those organizations. I think the Lions, they have a chance to make a run, a once-in-a-lifetime run that I think A lot of Lions fans would love to see them. I know Barry Sanders.
One time.
I know Barry Sanders would love to see him. Uncle, I would call him. I saw him not too long ago. He was just talking about how good they were. So, yeah, the Packers as well. Like, with Jordan Love, I mean, they've lucked out on another franchise quarterback. And, yeah, you have to go through them. But to me, to win a championship, it can't come easy. And you have to battle through your division games and find a way and be able to win your division. And I'd rather it be tough and hard and have to battle it out to be battle tested for the time when you have to get into the playoffs and you have to figure it out and win. I'd rather it go that direction than to have some cupcake division where you're just like, we can win out here with 8 wins and we're good and we're going to take this. No, that's not how you win championships, man. You got to find a way to be able to make it hard. And I think if you're being battle tested, it's only going to help this franchise, this Bears franchise out for the long haul. But yeah, both teams scared the heck out of me. But guess what? That's why we play the games.
Good
and
problem.
You never know, Paul, you never know how it's going to plan itself out, because being on teams that have won championships and being on good teams and then on teams that were really, really good, but didn't make it, because there's a lot of stuff that has to go your way throughout a football season. You got to have the roster. You got to have some luck. You got to be able to avoid the major catastrophic injuries.
Health. Yep.
Health, like all that stuff plays a part with it. And it's harder to do it after you've gotten to that point and you have to wait an off season and then go back and try to do it again. You never know how it's going to play itself out. So as good as the Lions are and the Packers are, we're all 0-0 once we kick off. Right. And so at the beginning of the season, so let's just see where this thing all kind of falls on the floor. Once it like everything gets kicked off the tables and then it's on the floor, and let's see where the Bears find out. There's no reason why three teams out of this division and the NFC North can't make it to postseason. It's possible.
It's like the SEC in the 12-team playoff. We'll get three teams in. Let me get you out of here in a couple minutes, but I got a couple rapid-fire questions. Give me a little bit on each. Okay, you played in both Amsterdam and Canada. Which is more of a football country, the Netherlands or Canada?
Oh, man. I would say I'm going to go with the Netherlands, man.
Yeah.
It's just different over there. Like Canada is, when you're up in Canada, they love football. The CFL is, people, fans are amazing. But there's something about being in Amsterdam and the love of football that they have over there, because it's just not common. So it's like, it's crazy. Beating drums in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
Players going.
Like soccer.
Yeah, it's like soccer. So shouts out to all my people out in Utrecht. Out there in the Netherlands.
Oh, you're big, man. In Utrecht?
Yeah, I am. No, listen, Pete, yeah? I am huge in Utrecht, man.
Wow.
Huge.
You even had the pronunciation right.
Yes, man. The shouts out to the NH Hotel, man. I think they put me on a stamp out there in Utrecht, bro. I'm telling you.
Oh, man. We got to go. I got to smell a road trip. All right, a couple more. You played at the U when they were at peak talent. I mean, talent. When you were at Miami, who was the physically most talented guy on the roster, the freak?
The freak, Sean Taylor.
Yeah.
Sean Taylor, hands down. Yeah. Hands down. He was a freak, man. I had no doubt in my brain. God rest his soul. If he was still here, he would have a gold jacket. He would be getting a gold jacket. He's unbelievable. And Ed Reed is like the guy, right? He's the dude, but Sean didn't get a chance to be able to do everything that he was supposed to do. Mm. And both two of the best players that I've ever played with in my entire life.
All right, a couple more. Let's go to this one. If I needed three carries this season in a playoff game for the Bears, could you give me three hard carries?
I could give you three hard carries, but they would have to be down by the goal line.
Right, like you need 2 yards at a time.
2 yards at a time, like, you know, and I would have to stretch for at least a week.
Right,
and ice tub. Yeah, ice tub and everything before. But yes, I definitely could. And my vision's probably still there. So, it'd have to be a stretch play, no ISO. Let me get the defense moving. So then I was the cutback king. So then I'm going to get back and find my hole, get through.
All right, counter trade. All right, here's one. We're going to get to the last topic. At what age did you realize your dad was different than other dads in the neighborhood? I've always wanted to ask you this.
Oh, man, that is a really good question. I would have to say It was pretty young. So I know it was after we moved to South Barrington. So it had to be around six or seven years old when I really figured out, because I was playing soccer and we're playing. I'll never forget. There's a picture that I have of all these dads playing against my soccer team, the in-house team that I was playing on before I started travel. And my dad is like all these dads in the picture. You can see him. And my dad's got on like the ruse wristbands.
Yeah.
And he's got a collared shirt on with some, like he was, but he was looking jacked and on the field, like balls were going and he was just, and no one could keep up with him. I was like, duh, my dad's different, bro.
And all the dads are probably looking because that's the guy over there.
That's the dude right there. So yeah, probably say about 7 or 8 years old.
All right. I'm going to give you a story. I always like to give you stories about your father, which is interesting because I didn't know your father, but he was my favorite athlete of all time. Clearly. He broke the rushing record, and it was at October of 84.
Yes.
I'm at Marion Catholic High School. I'm a freshman. Marion Catholic High School, we had a dress code, shirt and tie. Hard rule, shirt and tie. You couldn't wear jerseys. You couldn't wear anything. I walk in on Monday morning, freshman in high school. I've been there 6 weeks. I'm wearing my shirt and tie, and I have my home blue Walter Payton jersey on the day after he broke the rushing record because I was so excited. You know I was at that game. My uncle got me tickets. Great uncle got me tickets to that game. I walk in. I'm in the school for about an hour. I get called down to the dean's office, the dean of boys. He was hardcore. He goes, what are you doing? I go, what? He goes, you can't wear a jersey to school. I go, well, did you see what happened yesterday? He goes, yeah. He goes, you can't wear a jersey to school. You got to take that off. And I said, no. He goes, excuse me? I said, no. And he gave me detention. And I got detention that night. I sat calmly, proudly in detention with the jersey on. Best hour of my life. I was like, that's fine. And my mom goes, why'd you get detention? And God bless my mom. She goes, I'm cool with that because my mom understood. So I thought you'd get a kick out of that. That's what's up.
That's awesome, man. Paul, you're the best, man. I appreciate you, man. Just always the love. You've always been there for me. And you know I'm here for you anytime that you need me, man. Just hit me up.
I appreciate it. Thanks for being the first guest on the score. Before we let you go, I got to pin you down. How many wins did the Bears finish with? And do they make the playoffs?
I'm going to say 10 wins, and yes, they make the playoffs.
Quick exit?
I can't give you that. We'll have to see where they're, but they'll get there. And then once we get there, then we'll figure it out. But yeah, I think they find a way. The way that the schedule is, we're going to know who this team is early on. And then Brown, if they can stay healthy, those divisional games, man, it's going to be I think it's their opportunity to be able to shine. They can play. Defensively, they're good. They're good enough. And they're going to figure out a way, pose a Montez Sweat to find a way to get after the quarterback, even if it's a rotation on that other side. And they're going to figure this thing out. They just have to stay healthy. If they can do that, there's no reason why they're not in postseason.
Jarrett, thanks again for coming on the show. Let's walk out with keep on dancing. Keep your feet. Jarrett Payton, the first ever guest on the Tailgate. Thanks a lot for joining the show. Take care.
Appreciate you, man.
That was a lot of fun. Jarrett Payton, I've known him for a while now. Great guy. I always say that I'm the second biggest Walter Payton fan on earth. Sometimes I'll debate it with him, but we'll go at it. Jarrett Payton, a contributor to the score for a long time. His father, Walter Payton, was a contributor to the score, which now I'm thinking for a second. Both Walter Payton and I work for the same radio station. I've been working here almost 45 minutes, but I'll take it. It was great to have him on. Hey, Matt Spiegel in the afternoon show will be live from the Rally House in Wrigleyville next Thursday. Cubs are on a run September 5th from 2 to 6 p.m. Stop by to enter for a chance to win prizes. Stop by the best team gear selection in all of Chicago. I was there about 6 weeks ago. That place has everything. Join 670 The Score at the Rally House in Wrigleyville next Thursday, 2 to 6 p.m. or shop 10 Chicago area Rally House locations and online at rallyhouse.com. Jarrett Payton, we know he played college football at the U. I want to do a couple minutes here on college football. I love college football. I'm a junkie about college football. I'll watch anything. If there's a Division III game on, I'm watching it. If North Central's playing Elmhurst, I'm in. And this is going to be a really, truly historic college football season. You got conference realignment that's already happened. You got to like learn where all the teams are. And then the new 12-team playoff. And this is the biggest change to the sport of college football in our lifetime. And that's not an exaggeration. There are things that are a little bit cringy, like USC and UCLA are now in the Big Ten. I know you know that, but you may be even hearing that going, that still doesn't make sense. It's kind of weird. Growing up, if you like Big Ten football like you did and I did, you wanted your team to win the conference, the Big Ten, for the honor of playing in the Rose Bowl against UCLA or USC. It's a little odd. Oregon's going to be in the Big Ten. It's very odd. You know, college football now has a two-minute warning. helmet communication. The biggest change, the old four-team playoff, when I say old, it was last year, the four-team college football playoff, we were really just getting used to that as sports fans. We didn't really have it more, not even a decade. But the university presidents, the ADs, the NCAA, and the networks met up and said, how about we move to an eight-team playoff? We knew this was coming. And right before pen went to paper, they took another look and said, an 18 playoff, we can make a lot of money. But if we went to a 12-team playoff, we can make a lot of money. They flew right past eight. All approved, say aye, aye. Now we have a 12-team playoff. Quickly, the 12-team playoff is like this. The four highest-seeded teams in the big Power Five conferences get first-round byes. Seeds 5 through 12 face each other in round one. The higher-seeded team, higher seed is better. How does that? I'm not good at math. Shouldn't lower seed be better? One is lower than 12. All right, you're going to have to explain that to me. I went to Southern. Help me out. The higher seed will host the first round playoff game. This is fantastic. College football, playoff college football in December at home stadiums. Imagine Notre Dame, which is, with their schedule, they should be in the playoffs this year. If they're the 5 seed, there will be a home playoff game in South Bend in late December with weather. Sign me up. Ann Arbor. The playoff semifinals we hosted in a rotation of New Year's Day bowl games is a rotating basis. The national title game would be played at a host site determined by bids, just like how the Super Bowl is, right? You know, so we still have all the bowl games. Like we have the playoffs, and then we have the bowl games that you're used to. You know, the Pop-Tart Bowl is not going anywhere. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl isn't going anywhere. And I'm so happy that the longstanding Pabst family tradition of gathering my wife and kids in front of the TV to watch the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl will continue. It's important to my family. For decades, we've been watching the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. The one tough thing about college football this year, no more Nick Saban. That's tough. No more Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines. But we have a really great weekend slate of college football. Here you go. Later today, Georgia Tech dropped FSU last weekend in Dublin. That was fun. But you have Clemson at number one Georgia, 11 a.m. local time on ABC. Don't sleep on that. Penn State, West Virginia. Miami at Florida this afternoon. You got a great one tonight. Number 7, Notre Dame at A&M. A&M's given a couple of points to Notre Dame. That was a little surprising. So you got no NFL tomorrow. So don't sleep on USC versus LSU, 6:30 local on ABC. I think they're playing that one in Vegas. Back to Notre Dame real quick. If they get past A&M today, they have a schedule that is friendly this year. Not a ton of heavyweights on their schedule. They finish the season at USC. The new expanded playoff format, it should be reasonable if you're an Irish fan to expect them to make the playoffs. A lot more college football every week on this show. But up next, we're going to give you our Super Bowl pick, the MVP, Rookie of the Year, unveiling of the Bears morale meter, a.k.a. How's Morale. I'm Paul Pabst. This is The Tailgate, 670 The Score.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh? Hey, someday I'm going to come out of that tunnel and I'm going to run onto this field.
Well, ain't going to be this day.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
Coach Parsegian didn't know about it.
Here come the Irish.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on The Tailgate on The Score, I'm Paul Papp. This hour is going way too fast. I could do 3 more hours. Coming up on The Score, early odds with Joe O after this show from 8 to 9. And he's going to get you ready with all your plays for the week. And then the clubhouse, inside the clubhouse with David Haw and Bruce Levine from 8 to 9. From 9 to 11. Bruce Levine, he's on scholarship. I will buy him a beer someday. He introduced me to Harry Carey years ago at spring training. That was very cool. All right, it's time for Pub and Grub of the Week. Each week we feature a spot in Chicago or the Chicagoland area, as I like to say. Hit me up at Paul Pabst on Twitter. Now, this is a place where you should go to watch football, eat, and drink well. There's hundreds of them around the area. Send me the place you go to, your local watering hole. Have to have good food as well. What makes a neighborhood place? You got to have good TVs, good food, not too busy. This week, Bird's Nest, 2500 North Southport in Chicago. It's a neighborhood bar. They have unreal wings. I'm a huge wing connoisseur. They're fantastic. Also, tailgate tip of the week. We do this every week on The Tailgate. If you're going to tailgate, Bears have fantastic tailgates. I have a friend. She has a boat. She lives in Diversey Harbor. She takes her boat from Diversey Harbor down to Bears game. She's a season ticket holder, and she boat tailgates. I've never even seen that before. I got to do that. I'm going to a Bears game, hopefully, if I can find some tickets later in September against the Rams. I love the Bears tailgate. Tailgate tip, crock pot of chili. Make it the night before. Plug it in. Get that charger thing going in your car. Chili is the best at a tailgate. It's warm. It's warming. It fills you up. It makes you feel better in cold weather. All right. Every week on this show, because we're in this together, this is a very high-end season for the Bears. Expectations are through the roof. We're going to do a thing we call the morale meter. It's a season-long gauge of how Bears fans are doing. it's almost like kind of a mental breakdown for all of us to, how are we doing with the wins, the losses? Because there will be losses. As much as we feel great about how the Bears are going to do this season, and you start going through the schedule and say, that's a win, that's a win. Oh, Washington, that's a win. Patriots, that's a win. There's going to be a loss that's ugly and not pleasant. And Monday morning, you know, Mully and Hall are going to be just like going out of their minds. But you have to have the long-term perspective. And we're going to have perspective on the show if we can. Morale right now is like a 9.6. It might be too high. You know, you go through the schedule. We're going to go make our Bears picks next week on the tailgate, go game by game, team by team, and look at it. But right now, morale is high. Preseason almost went too well. They were 4-0. Most teams have three games in the preseason. So it's been a fantastic week. Our NFL MVP picks we're going to do next week. We're going to do Rookie of the Year next week. Super Bowl picks next week, even though there'll be a game, but we're going to do our Super Bowl picks next week. There's just a ton to get to on the show. Not enough time. Most importantly, this has been a lot of fun. Having Jared Payton on the show was a blast. Very special to me to be on the score. Very special. I've been listening since day one. Thank you to Mitch Rosen and Ryan Porth for getting me on the show. Alex Kuhn, Robbie Triano, long season ahead. Let's pace ourselves. Let's get through the work week, clear your head, get to the weekend and watch lots and lots of football. No more kids' birthday parties. No more couples' nights with Tina and Jim. It's you, me, and football. It's a commitment. Let's have a great year. We're in this together. It's football season. Talk to you next Saturday. I'm Paul Papps. This is The Tailgate. 670 The Score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.